Hi, everyone. Welcome to Cloud Cover. I'm Chris Reisner. Today, I'm joined by Hashi Bai.
Hello.
And today, our special guests, Josh Weber and Evgeny Tarnovsky. Would you guys like to introduce yourselves and tell people kind of what you do and what you're here to talk about?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Joshua Weber. I'm a senior PM on the HockeyApp team, HockeyApp being a product that focuses on kind of a mobile DevOps solution from Microsoft.
And I'm Evgeny. I'm from the Application Insights team. In particular, I work on the analytics feature, and that's kind of what the second part of the demo today will be and how that plugs into the HockeyApp story.
Great. And we're going to go ahead and just get started with the presentation, so take it away.
So I'm going to start off to talk about a little bit of HockeyApp. If people aren't familiar with HockeyApp, it's really a mobile-focused product, primarily focused on offering a complete DevOps solution. And so what we're going to show off here today is not just one product, but actually kind of a suite of products. The whole offering for DevOps is really around the favorite quote I say is that it's people, places, and process, not just tooling. So we're going to show off some integration between some tools in order to kind of support somebody setting up kind of a full set of DevOps solutions.
Great. And so now, you kind of when we look at DevOps from a mobile app perspective, DevOps is kind of the, hey, I've developed my application, now what happens after I've done some coding, right?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. The way that I tend to think about it is even actually before the coding part. So I think DevOps kicks in at all phases of the application lifecycle. So basically from CI to distribution of early and pre-production beta releases, all the way through basically your automated release into production, and then basically like kind of continuous monitoring to kind of take care of that stuff like as you get out in the real world, understand what real users are doing, what real behavior is actually taking place.
Great.
So if we drill in here to a little bit of the HockeyApp product, you can see that we have a dashboard, and I have a couple of sample apps set up. These are actually live production apps. We use these for the Xamarin Evolve conference.
Yep.
So it has actually some real use case data in here.
And the applications are open source on GitHub, right? So we'll include a link to the actual source code if you want to play around with it or do this exact same thing yourself underneath the show notes.
Yeah. And to show off kind of the breadth of offering that we have, HockeyApp does support all of the significant mobile platforms out there. So it definitely supports iOS, it supports Android, it supports Windows Phone and the various flavors of that. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, it supports some of the hybrid offerings that are becoming more popular, such as Cordova and Xamarin. For this example, we actually have a Xamarin application that was written once and then actually multiplied out to both the iOS and the Android platforms.
And everything you're going to show today, it doesn't necessarily matter if it was written in Xamarin, if it was Cordova, or if it is a native application. All of this stuff works no matter what it's written in.
Yeah, I think that's one of the advantages of taking a unified tool, especially from someone like Microsoft, we're able to really cover the breadth of the platforms. So you can have one consistent experience, no matter how you choose your platform option, whether it's iOS, Android, or one of the hybrid solutions.
Great.
So we'll drill in here to just the iOS offering here, and we'll notice that HockeyApp really has kind of a, what I call a kind of four pillar features that make it up. The first is really around distribution. You notice here that we have all of our latest distribution builds. Distributing through HockeyApp is really there to distribute any build that you need to get to an end user device. This can be really painful for mobile. Unlike, say, a server where you usually have direct access to the server, it's very easy to log in or remote in and push updates to that server. For a mobile device that's in your pocket, it's not connected to any computer. It maybe is in your tester's pocket, which is down the hall, and some other guy. Maybe he's got like 20 of them sitting on his desk. So actually getting the install process is really painful in mobile, and so HockeyApp helps to do that by basically doing that. So we allow you to very easily upload your build. We have integration for CI, or ultimately you can just drag and drop your IPA file directly onto our website and upload a new build. And then once you actually get that build available, it's just a URL. So you'll notice that in this application, basically there's a URL. You can share this URL. We'll send out email notifications to people. We have native apps that help you to do this. You can actually see all the previous versions. So if you're trying to install a version older than the latest one, you can go back in history and time. And we have some fancy features like QR codes and stuff like that. But ultimately, it's really about getting that build, no matter what stage of that application lifecycle. So if you're distributing a nightly build to your dev team, it's very easy to do that. It takes like less than a few seconds to upload and process the build, make it available. If you're doing something like a regular release to, like, say, your internal companies, like you have stakeholders that you want to try out the build, or even if you're prepping like kind of a gold master before you go to production, it really simplifies down this process. In addition to that, we're going to start to talk a little bit more about like some of the continuous monitoring features. So even when you're monitoring pre-production and beta builds, or definitely when you're going out to production release, it's really important to kind of monitor what's really happening in your application. And so as one of the core features, we really offer kind of crash analytics. So HockeyApp, I think, prides itself a little bit on having one of the industry-leading crash analytics providers. We do a a very deep kind of technical implementation in order to collect crashes so that it never harms your application. In addition to that, crashes can be very edge case oriented, and so we do a lot of work to make sure that we always reproduce a usable stack trace. Mm. So that's especially acute in iOS, where if you notice from a crash that happens, since it's native code in iOS, you actually get machine code back in that has code. So maybe some people are better developers than I am, but I personally can't make any sense of machine code based stack trace.
I usually go to Hashi for things like that.
That's Hashi.
Oh, that makes total sense.
Yeah. Or for the rest of us, common folk, usually we need to have symbol location done. So HotCap's going to take care of that symbol location. You upload your symbol files. We'll re-symbol locate that back to basically a usable stack trace. So you get basically the entire usable stack trace available for every single crash. So this is a crash no matter where it happened. If it was on the simulator and crashed, if it was on your local machine, your local device, QA tester out in production, you're going to get all those basically reported back. And you might notice that we do have some additional stuff, like since we're integrating this with user tracking, we also track how many users this crash has actually happened for, which is really good for diagnostics to understand that maybe this crash just happens on a very few devices, but really frequently, versus this is a very widespread problem that's hitting all of my customer base. Mm. So really helpful to try to dial in on what exactly you're trying to investigate.
As far as the edge case information, you know, that includes stuff like what the device is and what the version of the operating mm-hmm. system is, so you know if you need to try and reproduce it, the exact device type.
Yeah, we definitely collect things like operating system version, the device types. It's really helpful to see the distribution of the operating system or device type, because mm-hmm. you can actually narrow in that perhaps this crash happens just on one specific OS version. That gives you a huge clue into resolving those issues. So drilling into kind of our third pillar feature, that's really around user feedback. And if you notice in user feedback, the real thing is that basically our SDK allows you to communicate directly with your users. So like I said, that continuous monitoring is essential for being successful in the mobile space. One of the best ways to monitor your users is to actually talk to them. Mm. So the SDK basically allows the user to type in a message. They can actually take a screenshot. I'll show off a little example of a screenshot in a moment here. But they can actually take in that screenshot, mock it up, maybe draw some arrows on it and stuff like that, and then actually send a message back to the developer. This is actually bi-directional communication. So instead of just getting feedback one direction from your users to you, the developers can actually go in here and type a message back to the user. The user is going to get that message update inside their mobile app. Mm-hmm. So whether it's pre-production, where you're trying to diagnose with your QA team something that happened and maybe asking a bug request, and you ask, well, what were you doing before this instance occurred? It also supports things like production, where maybe your customers have a support request or just the app got into a weird state and they don't understand what happened. Okay. And so that can be really useful for understanding what's going on. Here we can see that someone's talking about an example here. And if we take a look down here, you can actually see that we actually capture like a screenshot that came directly from the user's device. Mm-hmm. This can be really powerful for understanding kind of what's going on in your application. Mm-hmm. Then the last feature that I wanted to talk about was really around our user and session tracking. So this really gets into the kind of the meat of the continuous monitoring. And so it's really important to understand not just what users say they're doing, but what they're actually really doing. Because you'll actually find that there's a bit of a gap between what people say is important to them and what they actually demonstrate through behavior.
Sure.
And so ultimately, we collect some basic metrics out of the box that are pretty standard and straightforward in the industry. Things like DAU, MAU, that's daily and monthly active users. We'll calculate the session rate so you can see how frequently users run your application versus how many users are using it. Mm-hmm. You can see that we calculate things like new and returning users. Is really valuable. But when you try to drill into these things, you actually quickly find that the basic metrics that usually come from a lot of tools like this are not really sufficient for it. And I think the real problem with that is that when it comes down to the real insights that you're looking to get from your application, very often you need to have something that's semantically aware. So there's some semantic behavior within your application that's very critical to you, such as a transition between states or something that has a meaning for you as an action. And the only way to really do that is to allow the developer to instrument those behaviors themselves. And so HotCap really supports this ability through the custom event feature, mm-hmm. which really allows you with just a single line of code inside the SDK to collect any action that happened within your app. That could be a page view transition, that could be a navigation element, it could be some trigger and response, it could be something that's performance oriented, like tracking a request or behavior. And basically you can collect those events with just a single instrumentation code. The SDK is going to take care of all of the processing, batching, caching, and uploading that to the base of the central system and performance.
Okay.
And so here we have like kind of an example here. The example that I usually show off is the developers for this app, we had like kind of three main pages. And they weren't really sure which page was going to be the main interaction point for the users during the conference. And so if you notice, we actually have the feed page, the session, and the mini hacks page all instrumented. And if you look, we do some aggregations here in HotCap for you, really around the core event count and kind of do it. And since we do that user tracking for you automatically, we do automatically compute things like the unique user, which is actually pretty interesting here. If we take a look, we can see that 100% of our users use the feed page, whereas some of our other pages were a little bit less use, like the Sessage page, which only got 71% here and stuff like that. And so it's really useful for understanding kind of the behavior, because then you can start to reason about why is this happening, right? And so you maybe have a reason to say the events page is only 59%. Maybe it just wasn't valuable to them, or maybe your navigation pattern is really weak and users weren't able to find that. So that's kind of the core event feature. I think for HawkYap, we tend to think of events as always aggregations. So we always look at the sum total of the events, and we tend to take kind of a high-level view of this is the distribution of the events over that. But we've actually partnered with the Application Insights product to provide the correlation of this, which is sometimes an aggregate view just loses a little bit of data, and you really need a more powerful mechanism for doing this. In addition to that, sometimes you can attach things like custom properties to these events. And if you really want to be able to slice and dice and mix and match this data by custom properties, you really need a more powerful tool. And to accomplish that, we've partnered with Application Insights, specifically the analytics tool, which we're about to demo here in a little bit.
Great.
And just to kind of show off, I want to show off how easy it is to set that up.
Okay.
So basically, you'll start off with HawkYap. You'll create an application in HawkYap. You'll add in the HawkYap SDK, get everything up and running, and you can start filing your events. You can log in here to make sure that your events are actually flowing. But the actual integration process is really just a couple of steps. So you'll want to go over to the Application Insights portal dashboard, which is at portal.azure.com. You'll come in here, and you'll want to select the Application Insights service. So we'll navigate to the Application Insights service. And then we'll just simply add an Application Insights resource to our application. And so we'll take a look. We'll give it a name. Here, the important thing is that you're going to want to select the HawkYap Bridge application type. So this is a special application type that we created in App Insights, specifically for HawkYap. So we're going to automate all of the routing of the data for you.
Okay.
You just basically have to tell us that it's a HawkYap. Once you tell us it's HawkYap, we need to have some information in order to do the linking between the two products. So what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to go back into your HawkYap subscription. If you navigate to your account settings for your profile, what you'll need to do is create an API token to be used. And you'll notice here that I've already created an API token. So it's very easy. You just create an access token, click the button, and it'll give you this access token key. This allows the Application Insights product to reach out to HawkYap and for the two of them to communicate on your behalf to access that data that you have.
And if you've connected HawkYap to a CI, you've already done this because you need to get the same sort of token in order to send your application up here, correct?
Yeah, so these application tokens are very common for a lot of different use cases. One of them is so that your CI server can talk to the HawkYap service. These are also used if you're going to do like scripting. So the majority of the features in HawkYap have APIs that expose them. So if you're going to be interacting with the APIs, you need an access token.
Okay.
So these tokens are used for a lot of different features. All we need to do is just type in the token. So we'll copy paste. We'll do a little check. And then it's actually going to pull all of the apps into the little dropdown. So we just need to go in, select the HawkYap app that is the data that we'd like to pull in here. So we'll select the Evolve App iOS. We'll do a new resource group for it, and then we'll hit create. That's all there is to it. So basically now we've basically automated the linking up. So this is going to provision you a new Application Insights resource. It's going to hook you up automatically. It's going to reach out and actually use the shared system that HawkYap and Application Insights both use together. And so what it's going to do is it's going to take all of those custom events that are flowing into HawkYap, and it's now going to basically allow those events to flow to both locations.
Okay.
So with no changes to your code, no changes to your application, this could actually be out in production. From this point forward, all the events that were flowing into HawkYap will continue to flow into HawkYap. You'll still be able to use HawkYap for all the same features, but then you'll also be able to drill in and basically take advantage of the Application Insights feature.
And so as far as getting that data into to Application Insights, there's no additional steps as far as, you know, having to say, all right, go pull the data again, go pull the data again, anything like that?
Nope, it's all automated and taken care of. It should be very straightforward and smooth.
Okay.
So I think I'm going to hand over to Evgeny here a little bit to drill into the actual Application Insights feature set and demonstrate a little bit about, now that the data is in Application Insights, what can you actually do for it? What kind of insights can you gain?
Great.
Okay, well, thank you, Josh. That was a great introduction. I think so. The next steps for you, first of all, you have to wait a few hours for the data to start flowing in. All the systems just need to get hooked up. So typically within 2 to 3 hours, you'll start seeing data. Now, we've set this up before today's session, of course. And so what you see here is what you'll see once the data does start flowing in. You'll notice that we actually have a little chart here for you that shows the data is indeed coming in to kind of see the volume of data, make sure everything's okay. And then you'll also have a link here right back to HawkYap in case you need to switch back and forth between the portals. So that's easy to do.
Great.
The core feature that we'll concentrate on really is this other button here called Analytics. If I press this, what this will do is open up a new window for me. inside the analytics portal. For those who aren't familiar with Application Insights and specifically the analytics feature, what it lets you do is sort of ad hoc query your raw data, right? And a lot of people use it for more of the investigation type of scenario. So for example, you have an outage and you need to sort of peel those layers of the onion to get down to the underlying root cause. Other people use it for more usage analysis, see what type of users they're getting, maybe the countries that they're coming from, that sort of thing. But point is that this lets you interact with your raw data without having to rely on any of the pre-made dashboards, Haki app or otherwise.
Okay.
And so in this case, I'll just open a new tab and go right into querying. On the homepage there, you saw a bunch of resources in case you're new to this. We'll walk you through some of the basic commands and all that. But for the sake of this session, because we'll do that, I'll go straight in.
Great.
So the way that the query language works, if you've ever used PowerShell or really any command line, Bash, anything like that, you're familiar with the pipe through interface. For those who aren't, what it really means is take the output of what comes before this pipe operator that you'll see and pass it to the next operator. Mm-hmm. So think of it as almost a production line, right? You take one station, do something, pass it on to the next station, something else happens there, rinse and repeat.
Okay.
So we'll always start with our data source. On the left, you see the schema. Let me highlight it with the mouse right here. And these are the sort of types that come standard for you once you instrument your application with the Haki SDK. Right? In this case, we'll concentrate on the custom events because that's really where you get the power of, as Josh said, that domain-specific information that you're looking for. So I'll start typing custom events. You'll notice, actually, IntelliSense is built right in. And so you can do autocomplete. You can do a lot of the things that you're used to in your Visual Studio, for example, bulk comment, uncomment, you know, control K, U, I think it is, control K, whatever it is. All of these commands are available to you as well. So we'll start with custom events. I'll press tab to autocomplete. And you'll notice that, again, IntelliSense pops up and tells me the types of things that I can do. I'll simply start by saying, take 10. Just show me 10 rows for the custom events table that we have. And so here's those rows. You'll notice that we have the timestamp when we received the event. We have the event name. We have your session ID, user ID, your application version, client type, client model, all the sort of information that you're interested in. In the upper right-hand corner here, you'll also notice we have a column picker. This particular application doesn't have any custom dimensions or custom metrics being passed in as custom events. But if you wanted to do that and really enrich your data even further and provide essentially key value paired parameters that you want to pass in as part of this, you can do that as well and then just enable them back in the column picker. Mm-hmm. And we'll actually see an example in another application that I'll show exactly how that works.
Great.
One other thing that's really useful to do is this little arrow next to every row. I can expand that and just view a more readable format of my data. And if you had those custom dimensions and custom parameters, they actually come through as JSON, you'd be able to expand that and actually see the JSON data also visualized in a much more readable way. So OK, now we know what our data looks like. Let's do something more interesting with it. Let's say we want to look at events for users who originated in, oh, say, Spain. So I'm going to start by saying custom events as well. You'll see that pipe operator. And then we'll go where, very simple, and client country or region in this case is what I want to look at. But you'll notice that you can filter by absolutely anything. Mm-hmm. And we'll go equals equals Spain. And then hit execute. Now, I'm using a keyboard shortcut here, which is shift enter to execute a query. And you'll notice it highlights the query that I'm executing for me. If you wanted to just use it through the UI, there's a big upper right go button over there that you can use as well. So these are all the events that we have for Spain. You'll notice in the bottom right, we have 795 of them. Something that we can do within the editor itself is filter. So every column, I have a filter control that I can use. I can also press the column name to order by the various columns. And one final thing is I can aggregate right within this grid control by drag and dropping the column name onto the grouping operator. And so now I can sort of see right there, those are my two names. Of course, I can do this programmatically as well, but I wanted to show you that very useful feature too. So these are all my events for Spain. And you know, this is pretty cool as well. I might be, you know, digging in and seeing what users are doing there, but it still isn't really providing me any particular insight. It's just viewing the raw data. Mm. So let's start doing some aggregations, which is really where this gets interesting. So what I want to do is, instead of looking at the raw events, let's actually look at the countries from where our events are coming from. So I'm using the summarize operator, which is how you sort of aggregate all of your data. These are all your statistical operations, like, for example, average, percentiles. What we're going to do is a simple count. So we're going to do count. And then what do we want to count by? In this case, let's see how many users are coming from every country. So I'll go by client, country, or region. And let's execute that. It'll take a second. And just like that, I can see exactly where my users are coming from. Right? So now we're starting to get a little more useful. This is already past the dashboards that we've seen before. Right? Now let's say, going back to our example with the country, let's say I want to look at my Spanish users, and I want to see what events are associated with them, but as a count, right? So what's my most common event coming in Spain? So I'll start here as well, where client, country, or region equals to Spain. Same thing we did before. And now I'll add a summarize clause in here. And now we'll do a count by name and execute that. And you'll notice again that just like that, now I'm segmenting by the country and seeing the most common events that occurred. Right. So now we're really starting to get into some powerful stuff. Now, I mentioned that there's other statistical operations beyond just counts that we can do. So let's actually do something a little interesting here. So I'll start with custom events as well. What I'm going to do is I'm going to count the number of sessions per user per country. So this is sort of your engagement. How engaged is your user? How many times are they coming back? So I'll start with a summarize operator, and I'll do some count of session ID, which is, again, a built-in parameter that the SDK takes care of for you. And now I'm going to do by user ID. So now we're counting the number of session IDs for a specific user. Right, and because we want to summarize this by, let's say, in this case, so we could do, you know, same thing, go back and summarize by country. I'm going to do something slightly different. I'm actually going to look at some statistics around this. So I'm going to start with a percentiles function, and it's going to ask me, well, what do you want the percentiles against? In this case, I'll go with count session ID, which is actually a column that gets generated for you as part of the previous summarize operator. And now I'll specify what percentages I want. So 50th percentile is obviously your average, if you go back to your you know, grade school statistics class. And then let's say we want to look at my 95th and 99th percentile as well. I'll execute that, and just like that, I can see the number of sessions per user. So on average, I have 11 sessions per user, but my 99th percentile is 209. So these are really my power users, right? So this is really neat. Now, more on the investigation side, let's go back and just look at my first query here, random 10 events. And I'm going to pick a random session here. Let's say this one here. I'm going to copy-paste the data. Let's actually look at everything that happened during this session. So I'm going to go with custom events, where session ID equals to that. And I'm going to execute that. And now, you know, if let's say you have a user who's asking you, hey, something isn't working, I want some help troubleshooting, you can go here and look at exactly what the user did based on your telemetry.
Now, how would you tie that session ID back to that user? Like if Hashi says, hey, I'm having this issue, how do I figure out that this is Hashi here?
No, I would tell you my session ID.
Oh, you know.
He would, of
course. Maybe if it's not Hashi, okay, maybe if it's me.
He'd tell it to you in machine code as well.
Of course.
But you know, this is really where that custom instrumentation comes in. You can pass in key value pair, right? We don't by default do this because of, you know, privacy and compliance concerns. But if you wanted to instrument your application that way, you certainly could.
Okay.
Right? And you can certainly try and figure out who's who based on the parameters you know. So if, you know, based on country, based on time, based on a few other parameters, you can usually narrow down pretty well.
Is this session ID something that's, if I have a mobile application with the Hockey App SDK, and is that something that's exposed inside the application? So if I had, you know, like a here's where you go if you need help page, it could display that or something?
Yeah, I think the data is all available within the Hockey App SDK. The other thing to be aware of for the SDK is, especially when questions like this around data, is that all the SDKs are open source. So even if they're not being exposed and the data is there, like it's always open source. You can always modify and expose things that aren't there. You can always dig into the internals if you ever do need to for your scenario.
Great. We'll make sure the links to those open source SDKs are down in the show notes as well.
That's very
nice. So now let's do something really cool about this. This is the investigation scenario, right? Now, this kind of brings up an interesting point, right? Let's look at the usage. How are people using our apps, right? And Josh, you kind of alluded to it earlier, which pages get the most views. But what if I wanted to see the progression of page views, right? So I think that's something that's very useful for me as a program manager.
Sure.
So the first thing I'll do is actually type in a command around just, you know, summarizing by user all the different pages that they view. So I'll start by doing this, and we don't have to worry about the nulls here. I'll just order by, you know, an ascending order. And what I'll use is this make list command. And what it does is essentially you look at the parameter and generates an array of another dimension that we associate with it and kind of lets you do that. So I'll show you sort of the raw output of this. So what I want to do is a list of the page name, and I want this per session ID, right? And once we run this query, what you'll see is for every session ID, you'll see the exact progression of the names that got generated, right? Really cool. So now.
So in this case, what we're saying is like this user, let's skip past the first one because it's only the one page. But basically, that record. So basically, you're saying the first page they went to was the feed page, then they went to the session page, et cetera.
Yep, that's the exact progression that they went
through. And now I'm trying to look, but if you go, like, let's say feed, then session, then feed, you'd see that here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, great.
It's just, you know, the events triggering and us summarizing it. Right, so now I'm going to add one more line, and this is essentially fine. So now we have it per session. But what's our most common path through the application? So now let's actually do a count of that. Right, and so what I'll do is summarize, count. This should be familiar by now. And now I'm going to use this toString operator because that's an array, and I need to essentially make it a string for the aggregation to work. And list name, which is the new column that got generated for me. I'll execute this. And then let me actually order it by the count. And now you'll see the exact progression and how often users got through there.
Great.
Right? And now I can start even segmenting this, right? So if we go back to our Spanish users, I can add another where clause in the beginning and see. In fact, let's do that. Why not? So I can do where client country or region equals to Spain. And I'll execute that again. And just like that, it's segmented down to
very
just the country.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Right? And so now, You can hopefully see with your own telemetry how you can really start digging in and seeing your user behavior.
And it looks like there was a rich amount of data you're just getting in there by default before you even add any of those custom key value pairs.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So seeing with data, I have a couple of questions regarding the telemetries. So you're saying the App Insight will go to Hockey App to pull the data over. Is there a fixed interval polling, or is that controllable?
No, so we do this basically like live streamed. So once all the configuration is set up, the data actually flows and forks basically at ingestion time into both systems.
Oh, okay, cool.
So once the system is set up, it should be minimal.
It's a continuous.
Yeah, so it's just continuously outputting into
that. That also means that you should set this up well in advance of when you might want to do it. So if you have, if you've already got a bunch of data in HockeyApp, you can't say, okay, go get the data now. It's got to be everything after you set
that
it up.
That is a good caveat. It is after you do the triggering, so we won't load in historical data because it could be quite a lot to load in backwards. So once we set up the point, all the data from that point forward will get forwarded. But you should probably set it up early so you don't miss out on some historical data.
And do we have a retention policy in App Insight?
We do. So currently it's set at 8 days.
Okay.
Right. We're kind of toying around because it's a common request for us if we can have a longer retention period. So we're sort of, you know, just based on the resources we have available. This is, of course, a multi-tenant environment, so we want to make sure that if we increase that, we don't bring everyone down. But it's absolutely something that we're looking at increasing that as well. Today, it's 8 days.
Cool.
Yeah. Is that something that you can like pay for more days at this point, or is it just locked on 8 days?
Okay. No. Right now, like I said, it's a multi-tenant environment. Okay. We hold everyone to the same standards.
Great. Okay. Now, if I recall correctly from looking at the Evolve app, they actually used Azure as their backend as well. So now, if you have this scenario where, I guess realistically it could be in Azure, but something that's also recording their insights to App Insights, whether you're hosting that backend in Azure, something like that, is there any way to correlate the client-side usage and requests with the server-side usages?
Yeah, so the quick thing I want to mention is it's definitely not Azure only. I mean, Application Insights has things. It's not even just a ASP.NET, I mean, they support collection of data from all sorts of backends like Node.js or Java.
Yeah.
So really anywhere where your application is actually running, if you had a backend server, you would be able to fork this data into Application Insights.
Great.
And then definitely Evgeny can kind of talk through the mixing of data from servers and mobile?
Yeah, you know, so things like, for example, the session ID or the originating IP, things like that, or for that matter, if you instrumented the application with your own custom, you know, string in there, and that's something we do internally, actually. We have a string, or a GUID, I should say, that gets passed in from application to application. Mm. You can just open multiple of these insights windows and kind of correlate things that way.
Okay.
You know, down the road, of course, we do want to improve this experience. It's just later down.
Sure.
And I should actually mention how you request features. We've talked about a few, right? Mm. Application Insights has a user voice instance set up where you can come in, you know, request features and vote on other people's features. And the way to access that is in the upper right-hand corner here, the question mark. You have something that says submit an idea. Mm-hmm. If you press that, it takes you to our user voice instance.
Great, and we'll make sure there's a link to that down in the show notes as well.
Yeah, of course. And from there is also how you get to documentation and all sorts of other neat things.
Great.
So I think, you know, if we have another minute, I just wanted to show sort of what's possible. We looked at a few very simple scenarios, right? And this is very useful data, not to say that it's not, but to show you sort of the type of thing that this analytics tool is capable of. So this is a query that actually we use internally, and I've opened up another application here, just to show you sort of how rich the language is. So we have things like, for example, the ability to define parameters and then parameterize your query. We also have this extend operator, which is calculated column, where you can look at unstructured data. You can use regex to extract interesting and relevant data. If you have, as we mentioned, custom dimensions, JSON is a first-class operator here. And so you can address it by its object model. Mm. Right? So in this case, I have something in my custom dimensions I'm passing in called subscription ID. And just like that, I can address it using the dot notation. Right? We have all sorts of neat things here. And we also, let me actually run this query. We also have a built-in visualization tool. Mm. If you press the little chart icon over there, and you know, we'll do a few different types of visualization. It's often useful in investigations to not just look at the raw data, but also see its structure visually.
Sure.
And that's kind of why we have this here. So this query in particular, what it's looking at is a metric we ourselves define called customer impact. Right? And so by looking at this, we can see how, you know, what this app is associated with, how our users are impacted by any outages, by any performance degradations. And I selected a period here where there was a performance degradation. You can kind of see the spike in customer impact. And you can definitely use this as more of a, you know, production monitoring type of scenario.
Sure.
The last thing I think I want to show as far as application insights analytics goes is export to Power BI. We actually have a very rich integration point with Power BI where you can build dashboards based on this data and based on your queries. So let's say now this is the data that I want to look at. This is what it looks like. In this case, it's only two columns, but it'll, you know, it'll demonstrate what I'm trying to show. If I press the export button over here, you'll actually see you can export as Excel. But let's go with Power BI. It'll download this text file, and here you have the instructions. I'll just show you what these do. Essentially, you copy-paste this query here. You go into Power BI Desktop. Let's close out of here. What we'll do is get data, and we'll go with a blank query. Right? And what you can do over here now is hit Advanced Editor, and you don't have to do this, but it's just easier to see in this big window, and just copy-paste this here. I'll strip the comment. You don't have to. I'll press Done, and now it'll ask me for my credentials. The credentials you want to use here are the ones that you use to sign into the Azure portal to access Application Insights. And so I'll just go as sign in as a different user. It should pop up a little thing here. I'll just use my organizational account.
So this is using the exact same credentials that you have for accessing your data in the Azure portal. Mm-hmm. That's also replicated.
Right.
So you can just use the exact same account and be sure that the data is all basically behind the same account system for both Power BI and the Azure system.
Okay.
Yep. And I'll just enter my 2FA here. As soon as it pops up. And there we go. Sign me in. You're currently signed in. Connect. OK. And as you can see, we now have the data right here available to us. I can close and apply. It'll take a second here to pull all the data in. And the data actually gets live updated, right? So if, let's say, you're looking at your last week worth of data, it'll actually always show you the last week, right? So it's a rolling window. So those are my two dimensions there that I pulled in. And of course, if you have more dimensions, those are available there, and you can start designing your dashboards and charts. And you can actually upload these onto Power BI Web and consume them there, you know, share them with your team, do all of that. The credentials will be built in. So
great.
Really, really neat.
Yeah, my team specifically actually finds this to be really powerful, especially around, you know, the analytics tool is great for investigation and exploring your data because all that raw data is there. But when it comes to like operationalizing that and actually getting a dashboard you can put up on a screen that your team can watch and stuff like that, we tend to use this Power BI integration because it works so seamlessly to be the same tool you use to do the investigation with the query language is the same thing that drives your dashboards. So you get that kind of one-to-one mapping.
Great.
Is really quite powerful.
Very awesome.
Yeah. As far as the retention rate, I want to go back to Application Insights itself for a second. There is one more feature. We concentrated on analytics, but there's another feature actually available to you in Application Insights, which is continuous export. And what that lets you do, I'll just quickly point to it with my mouse in our dashboard here. It lets you actually export the raw data into Blob storage, right? And from there, you can consume it and process it however you want, be it with HD Insight, be it with you know, Azure Stream Analytics directly to Power BI. So if you want that longer retention rate, you can just take the data, process it into your own custom data warehousing solution, and examine it there.
Okay, so totally an option if you need that, you've got there. Great.
And that transfer is really to your own blob storage. Mm-hmm. So once it's in your own blob storage, you can use your own management. Your retention can be infinite if you're willing to pay for the blob storage costs.
Sure.
Like, it really opens up kind of the full Azure ecosystem there to anything you want to do with that data.
Great. Awesome. Well, guys, thanks for coming out here and showing us. It's fun to see what you can do with, you know, just adding a simple SDK into your application. You can end up with a wealth of data investigation possibilities.
Thanks for having us, Chris.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll make sure we've got links to all this stuff underneath the show. Do you guys have Twitter handles in case people want to reach out to you?
I don't, but certainly at App Insights.
You got to do one of these so we can put it right in the video.
Yeah.
App Insights at App Insights.
Okay.
And actually, I do have a Twitter handle. It's Joshua Weber.
Great. Well, we'll make sure we put those in there. Awesome. So thanks again for being on the show. Everybody out there, thanks for watching. Make sure to follow us at Cloud Cover Show, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you.